Hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you. Thank you for joining us. These times are always a blessing for me. I look forward to them. I pray that they're a blessing for you, that they help you in your walk and your relationship with the Lord. And just as you face the circumstances of your life and living, that you can face those knowing the Lord's guidance and strength and nearness and be able to experience His love and His joy. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. I know I frequently say that, but I want them to be recognized and appreciated. You see and hear me, but they're behind the scenes. But without them, these times could not be possible like this. And I'm very thankful for what they do. But obviously, more than anyone, I'm thankful for our Lord, who loves us, who created us, who in spite of our sinfulness, gave His Son to live, die, and rise again for us, to recreate us through faith and trust in Christ as new creatures in Him, and who wants us to know Him. In fact, that's why He created us to begin with, and through salvation recreates us into a relationship with Him. And He's given us times like these, means like this, certainly His Word, His Spirit, the blessing of prayer, to be able to meet with Him, to hear from Him, to grow in Him, to know Him. And so let's take a moment to go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given to us. Father, for Your eternal love for us. Father, for Your grace, for Your sufficiency. Father, for Your goodness. Lord, just Your loving kindness. Father, we thank You. And Lord, as we're before You today, open our minds and our hearts. Father, we need You to give us the understanding of Your Word, and through that understanding to be able to hear what You want to tell us, what we need to hear. Father, speak, move, draw us close to You. Let us know You better as a result of being here. Let us trust You more to know Your ways, Father. Just be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you are having a wonderful day, both in terms of the circumstances that you're in terms of the weather. It's actually a pretty cool day today, so we're filming inside again. And certainly in terms of your relationship with the Lord. But also know that you might not be having a good day. You may be facing trials or difficulties or adversities, maybe several of them, one, maybe a major one. Maybe you've had one of those days where it seems like nothing goes right. And as we're here before the Lord, you're desperately needing Him and desperately needing His guidance. As we open God's Word to Psalm 20, we see David certainly needing God's guidance, certainly needing God to help him in a time of adversity and difficulty. And yet you think about what David said in the very first verse. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. And of course, remember when you read in verses like verse 1, talks about the name of God, about the very person of Him. The name reflected the person. It wasn't just the audible, you know, pronunciation of the name, but the name reflects the character. It indicates the person, who they are. And so may the name, may the person of God, of Jacob, set you securely on high. So in the midst of difficulties and adversities, David is saying, may the Lord answer you. May God set you securely on high. And then as we go through the rest of the psalm, we see specifics about how we can pray to be able to truly experience that, how you can pray to experience it in the midst of whatever circumstances or adversities or difficulties that you're going through. And so look with me as we work through this psalm, and we see that first of all, we need to pray for God's strength. Look at verse 2. May He send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. The sanctuary, of course, talking there about the tabernacle in David's day, and then later on, of course, in Solomon's time, and afterward, the temple, but the place where God met with His people. And so it's the idea, may He send you help from the sanctuary. May God Himself strengthen you and support you. You know, one of the blessings, and we don't often think about this and don't like to think about this, but really one of the blessings of a time of adversity or difficulty is that we realize just how small and weak and frail we really are. And while we might not like that, it is absolutely essential for us to see ourselves as we truly are, for us to see God as He is, and in fact, to be able to lean upon Him. In fact, as you recall, that God deliberately put the Apostle Paul in a situation where he would know his weakness so he would trust God's grace and strength. You think about what we read in that very familiar passage to us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Think about verses 9 through 10. This is after he had been given that thorn in the flesh. You think about what God's message to him was about that. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, it is those times of adversity and difficulty, when we truly see how weak we are, and as a result of that, we truly seek God's strength and guidance. And you think about the promise that He's given to us. You think about what we read in Isaiah chapter 40, and in verse 31, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." So what do we do when we're in a time of adversity and difficulty? And many times those times just absolutely wear us down. We pray for God's strength. And again, we don't like it, but one of the benefits of such a time is it does show us how weak we are, how much we need God's strength. And we need to respond to that by allowing God to lead us, in fact, to pray for His strength, the strength that only He can give us, the strength that will enable us to run, to walk, not become weary, to be able to keep going. We need to pray for God's strength. But not only do we need to pray for God's strength, but as we keep looking at this psalm, we also see that number two, we need to pray for God's closeness. That is the fact that we will experience His nearness, His very real experience nearness, that we will know that He is with us. You think about what we see in verse 3. "May He remember all of your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable." Obviously, those are references to times of worship, again, both in the tabernacle to begin with, up until David's time, and then the time of the temple, and later from Solomon's day forward. But those are times of worship where God's people would seek Him. He would draw near to them. And we need to, in fact, seek God's presence, His real experienced nearness in our midst. As we discussed Sunday night worship and our fellowship, the old Puritans used to talk about the manifest presence of God. That is the experienced presence of God. We need to pray for God to make Himself real. And you know, if you think back in your walk with the Lord, it's probably been those darkest hours, those most troubling hours, those most heartbreaking hours, those most difficult of situations where you experience God's nearness the most. Probably, as we've already stated, we recognize our need, which is many times the greatest prerequisite we have. But we need to pray, "God, I need you." Again, I think about the book of Psalms, and you think about what we see in Isaiah. But you think about Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." You think about what is probably a favorite psalm for all of us, if not your favorite psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. You know, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me." That experienced presence of God. When we're going through a time of adversity and difficulty, we need to pray, "God, let me know that You're with me. Because, God, I need Your guidance. I need Your strength. I need to know that You're with me. I cannot handle this by myself." We, in fact, need to pray for God's closeness, that we would know that He is close, that He is, in fact, near. It's exactly what David was doing. He prayed for God's strength. He prayed for God's closeness. But notice as well, He prayed for God's guidance, which is what we need to do. We need to pray for God's guidance. Look at verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all of your counsel. Now, we need to have an understanding about how we get this desire of the heart and the desire of the heart that actually gives us guidance. You think about what we read over in Psalm 37 and in verse 4. You think what it says there, Psalm 37, 4, I turned one page too many. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, understand what it means to delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It means when we put God first, when we delight in him, he will put upon our heart the things he wants us to desire. I know that there have been false teachers who have tried to twist that to get, you know, in some way so we can manipulate God to giving us whatever we want. But the idea is that when we put God first, he'll place on our heart what he wants us to desire. And that, in fact, becomes the guidance that he has for us as he leads us through the situation. We need to pray for God's guidance, that he will, in fact, lead us. And so what David is saying here is, may the God guide you. And how we need God's guidance, especially in adversity. You know, let's be honest. We don't know how to handle most things in life, even on good days, much less problems and adversities and difficulties. I remember several years ago, I always enjoyed listening to Paul Harvey, and I remember one time he was speaking about the need of prayer, and he gave the illustration that it's, you know, in our lives, it's like walking through underbrush and briars, and we can't see where to put our feet. We can't see what's over that log we're stepping over, and behind every log and up underneath every rock is a snake that can bite us. How we need God to guide our every step. And that's exactly what David is saying here. And it needs to be the recognition, God, that we have, God, guide me through this. Let me have your guidance. God, I need your strength. I need your presence. I need your guidance. Again, you think about Psalm 23, how he leads his sheep. Our Lord also used that very same imagery in John 10. But we need to, in fact, pray for his guidance. But then notice what else, and we don't often think about this one. So far, we probably hear, you know, we hear that list, and we probably think, well, that makes sense. I'm sort of kind of doing that. But then we come to one that we don't often think about, but is absolutely essential. Number 4, we need to pray for God's glory. Look at what we see in verses 5 through 7. We will sing for joy over your victory. In the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. You know, even more important than getting out of the situation, and we have to come to an understanding of this, even more important than our getting out of the situation is for God to be glorified within the situation. You think about what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 through 31. Whether then you eat or drink, and that was the immediate context of the question, but you think about the overarching principle, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, as believers, our primary goal in life is, in fact, to glorify him. The old Westminster Catechism ask the question, what is the chief end of man? That is, why does man exist? What's our purpose for being here is how we would say it in contemporary English. What is our purpose for being here? And the answer to that question, the chief end of man, the reason we're here, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And as we think about being in that situation, desperately needing to know what to do, our desire needs to be, oh Lord God, glorify your name. Lord, lead me in what I do and don't do, say and don't say, how I carry myself, how I react. Oh Lord God, lead me to glorify your name. And again, this is the one we often overlook, and this is, and quite frankly, because our desire is not to glorify him, we don't experience his strength or his presence or his guidance. But our desire and all that needs to be, oh God, glorify your name. Now, what happens when we pray that way? Well, look at verses 8 and 9. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us in the day we call. Again, you think about verse 8. They have bowed down, talking about all those problems, issues, enemies, but we have risen and stood upright. All because David had prayed for God's strength, his closeness, his guidance, and for God's glory. You know, if we truly come before the Lord in that way, God will in fact answer. In fact, as you think about that wonderful invitation and promise that we see in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. David prayed, and David experienced God's guidance and strength, God carrying him through the problem. May we follow David's example in prayer, because if we do, we will experience the same deliverance and strength and guidance that David did. If we want the answers to prayer such as David had, we need to pray the prayers such as David did. And may we do that. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you that you are the living God, sovereign, ruling over all. Loving, kind, merciful, gracious, faithful. Oh Lord God, whether we're having a what seems to be a good day so far or have had a very difficult day, whether we're in a very difficult season facing adversity, oh Lord God, may our hearts be turned towards you. Father, may we seek, oh God, your strength, your presence, your guidance, all for your glory. And, O God, may you carry us, lead us, guide us, and yes, O Lord, use us to glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you are having a great day, and will have a great day from this point. But I hope whatever kind of day you have, even if you're having a very difficult one, that you follow David's example in prayer, and that you have David's experience through prayer. And I pray that you have a great day in the Lord.